Well, what I would like to do is spend 5-10 minutes explaining how and why I joined up with ACA and just kind of give you my background. I'm a newer member. I've just come through training in the last two and a half years. And that's kind of the first point I wanted to touch on was how impressed and how in-depth the training was and how prepared I was to become a not only a financial planner, but a business owner. You know, I have not been through other training programs, so I don't have anything to compare it to, but what I can tell you is we have at least a couple of folks in ACA that are former Garrett planners, and they've said, both have said, that how much more robust they thought the training was from ACA, how prepared they were to take that step to have a successful business. And what I would like to say is that, or what I've said in the past, is that I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm smart enough to know what I don't know. So I couldn't imagine starting up a practice on my own from the ground up without a system such as ACA. It gives you the structure. It gives you the infrastructure to build and sustain a successful practice, especially for someone like me who is a career changer. Back in how I found out about ACA was back in 2002, my wife and I became clients of a ACA planner here in town. And I just liked the process that Rob demonstrated with us, the Cambridge or ACA approach. It just made perfect sense to me. And after we were working with him a couple years, he'd give me a copy of Burt Whitehead's book, the gentleman that started Cambridge several years back, I guess 15 years ago. And I read through the book, and it just totally clicked with me. It kind of gets into the nuts and bolts of the investment side of ACA, and it just totally clicked, and it made a lot of sense. And I just happened to be meeting with Rob one day, and we were talking about my work, and I just happened to mention that, you know, things weren't going good, and I'm ready to make a change. And he said, oh, okay, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, you know what, I want to do what you do. And whatever we had on the agenda that day, we just kind of set that aside, and we came up with a game plan where I could become an advisor. I went back to Ohio State to take the CFP classes and was fortunate enough to pass the CFP exam in March of 2007. And that summer, I'm, you know, ready to go and ready to get things going, and I was pretty sure I was going to sign up with ACA, and I was doing my due diligence and talking to folks, and everything looked good. And I was out to lunch with Rob one day, and I'm badgering him with questions, and kind of came down to, I said, Rob, you know, this all looks great, it makes total sense to me, but you know, this is a lot of money to put on the line. And he said, yeah, I understand that. And what he told me, and I've told this story 100 times, what he told me is, what you have to understand is that you're buying a business in a box. And what that means is it gives you the resources for you to be a great advisor in how to run a business. And that just totally clicked with me because, like myself, Rob was a career changer. He's a former university professor. So he was coming in changing careers as well, and that just, it just made total sense to me. You know, my next point I would like to share is that I'm sure most folks on the call or most folks that look into ACA are convinced that the fee-only model is the way to do this business. And what I would like to do is maybe even take that a step further and kind of compare and contrast that to other fee-only folks that maybe just do assets under management, where they're just managing money. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what we do, we provide comprehensive or holistic planning to our clients. So pretty much anything that has to do with their personal finances, from investments, estate planning, taxes, cash flow, retirement planning, you name it, We try to help our clients with that. And they see the value in that, and they also understand the value that we provide, and we're getting paid for that. We charge a pretty healthy retainer to our clients, but they see the value, and they get a good value in return, and the planner, he can make a nice living, and everyone's happy. I was just meeting with a client a day or two ago. We were doing some tax planning for him for this year, and he came to us about a year and a half ago. He was with another planner here in town who was fee only, but just did the AUM model. It was just kind of managing money, and she's a good planner. She knows what she's doing, but he would present a lot of questions to her that she couldn't really help with, as far as he's kind of semi-retired and he's at the point, should I take Social Security? What's my cash flow going to be in retirement? And these kinds of things, and what are the tax implications if I do this, if I keep continuing my side business? And it was a lot of issues that she couldn't help him with, picking out mutual funds and setting up an allocation. Okay, yeah, she knew that, and she could do that well, but she couldn't help with these kinds of issues. And that's when him and his wife sought out our company, and he's mentioned more than a few times how grateful he is that he found us and we were able to help him with these types of issues. And he's been a great client. We love working with him, and it's been a great relationship on both sides. And what I would mention also with this type of relationship that we have with folks, where maybe the first year we're meeting with them 6, 7, 8 times, and then after that first year maybe it's 2 or 3 or 4 meetings a year. But these type of clients are a little more sticky, meaning that we're seeing them more, we're doing more work for them, they see the value of it, and they're going to be more apt to renew our services year after year. I think the average, I've seen different numbers out there, but I think the average ACA advisor retains at least 90% of their clients every year. The way we do our renewals, we do them all at year end. So by the end of January, we pretty much know who has renewed for that year. And typically, we'll have a couple drop off for various reasons, but our retention rate has probably been closer to 95% over the last couple years. And I owe that to this model and how it's structured and how we charge our clients and the work that we do for them. And that's another tenet of ACA, is it teaches you how to properly charge for your services. Because we do a lot of work for our clients, but we charge a health retainer, as I mentioned before, and it's a win-win situation. The client's getting the information, they're getting the help that they need, and we're still able to make a nice living at it. So it works out very well. Another reason why I joined ACA was the community aspect of this organization. I believe there's about 150-ish planners with ACA across the country. So you're not out there on your own. You're going to get to know the other planners. You're going to get to know them very well, and they would bend over backwards to help out in any way they could. And that's a big part of this system, is the relationships that you build. You learn quickly who is good at estate planning, or who came from an insurance background, or who is a CPA if you had some complicated tax issues, or who's good with ISOs when that might come up. And I always kind of make a mental note of that, put that in the back of my head when I meet an ACA advisor at a conference or on a committee, knowing that if and when a situation arises, I would be more than welcome to call them, and they'd be more than happy to help out. I remember my first ACA update conference a couple of years ago. They had a little reception for first-time attendees, and there was a planner there that he's been in the Alliance, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years, and has a very successful practice. And he said that, a big part of your membership is paying for the access to this brain trust. that when he was first starting out, he had four or five ACA folks literally on his speed dial. And he knew that he could call them whenever and wherever, and they'd be more and willing to help out. And that's what I found. There's no question about that. This ACA model, and I've kind of touched on this, it gives you the structure and the background to build a self-sustaining practice. You know, your job when you sign up is to go out and find, you know, 12, 15 clients, and from that you'll start getting referrals, and those folks will start referring folks. But this model, the way it's built, the way we charge, it lends for a future income stream because, like I said, 90% plus of our clients renew every year because they get it. They like working with us, and they renew year after year. Clients that you sign your first year, most likely you'll have them the second year, the third year, 5, 10 years down the road. So what I would like to say is that this is a proven model that's been refined over the years. There's a lot of good folks in this system that lend their support and have refined this system, have fine-tuned it, and you'll learn how to put a practice together. You'll learn how to advise clients. You'll learn how to attract clients. You know, I'm not saying that you sign up with ACA and all of a sudden the phone will start ringing off the hook and you'll have clients to sign up. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is they'll teach you how to attract clients. So the resources are in place. To me, ACA is as it was advertised. A tenet of being an ACA advisor is providing more value to our clients than what we charge, and I feel that's the case with my membership. I'm a lifetime member for the next 10, 20, 30 years, however long I do this. There's no question about that. Especially if you're a career changer or if you maybe already have a practice, but your wheels are kind of spinning and you're not where you need to be, you know, I would definitely look into this. If you really want to provide value and really help folks with their finances, I would strongly recommend this. If you just want to manage money and accumulate assets, this may not be the system for you. Before I forget, I would like to give you folks my email address. If you ever have any questions, you ever want to talk one-on-one, I'd be more than happy to. My name again is Jim Davis, and the email address is jim@partnershipfinancial.com. I'll be quiet, and I'll turn it back to Amy now.
Thank you, Jim. That was great. And now I'd like to announce ACA member Chip Simon, who will tell us why he joined ACA and why he stays.
Okay, can you hear me all right, Amy?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, so the unmute works. Good, thanks. thank you, Jim. Everyone, welcome. Thanks for attending the call today or for listening in at a later date. Let me tell you where I am and sort of define the market of the geographic area. I'm located in Poughkeepsie, New York, which is about halfway between New York City and Albany, New York, on the Hudson River. And I would consider my market to be somewhat rural in both in demographics and mindset. So fee-only advising is has been and probably except for me virtually unknown out in this area. So that is part of a reality that needs to be accepted about, you know, how prevalent is the idea of fee-only planning in your area, maybe other Cambridge advisors or other sorts of fee-only advisors. So I was out here, like Jim, I'm also a career changer. I changed careers at 50. I had originally had my degree training back in my 20s in accounting and finance. That was my master's. I did a number of other things along the way, which I won't bore you with today. And then at 50, the company I was working with was getting sold, and I had to figure out what to do. I had a big commute that I faced every day, about 3 hours a day, and my wife wanted me to work closer to home and avoid that dangerous trip on the interstate, and I wanted to work in my community, and so I finally figured out that financial planning would be a good way for me to use my background and talents. So I finished the CFP program and got the certificate at a local college and started looking for work. And of course, I was talking to all sort of the distribution sort of companies. I was getting ready to take the insurance licensing exam for AXA Advisors. And I finally just gave them all their stuff back and said, you know, I can't do this job, because I knew that job was really about getting 15 appointments a week and going out and doing sales calls and things like that. And I talked to brokers, and they said, yeah, it's a really great, wonderful place to work here. But by the end of the appointment, he basically fessed up to said that, yeah, what you really have to do is sell a lot of annuities to make your way. And I just said that wasn't the way I wanted to go. So I then found out about NAPFA. There was an upper end NAPFA advisor not too far away from me. He introduced me to the idea, and then so I learned about NAPFA first, and then heard about Garrett Planning first, and then when I finally heard about ACA, I got the tape for Burt Whitehead describing his model, and as soon as he said the phrase, I remember that we should save our clients more than we charge them, I said, this is the place for me, because there's a real value proposition there. And I had a background in marketing, and that just made a heck of a lot of sense. So I joined at that point, and I joined, actually, I guess it was the training class January 2003. So I'm amazed that I was thinking about that when I was writing an article. Rather than saying how long I'm in practice, I can start saying I'm in practice almost a decade, which has a nicer, even twist to it than saying 7 years. So that's how long I've been with the organization. And I've also been on the board of directors for a few years and chaired the board a couple of years as well. So I'm highly biased on the side of ACA. So you're just going to have to accept that in what I say. I think for people starting out, one thing you really have to be thinking about, because I do come at things from a marketing point of view, is you have to be asking yourself the business question: why is someone going to buy you? And you really have to have a very clear idea of why someone's going to buy you before you can go out and present yourself and give people reasons to turn their hard-earned money over to you to be their advisor. And I think that ACA provides a lot of skills. When starting out, I used to think of it, and you might even think of it as this: the three basic selling points are there's you and your own background. NAPFA, to my mind, sort of holds the brand of fee-only advising, and then ACA is a specific model of financial planning that is out there. So I consider those to be the three legs of the foundation of your practice, and you can tell people that. I mean, that's what you could tell people. The reason why I like the ACA model is it dovetails nicely with my background, which is accounting, which is very cash flow based. And if you talk to people about how it all comes down to cash flow in the end, their heads will nod, because that's why people are saving for retirement, to provide the cash flow that's going to sustain them later on when they either don't want to or can't work or are looking for other options in their life. So that's the thing I really love about the system and the tax integration. And I can't imagine people that do financial planning without being able to evaluate and work with tax returns. It's all just very, very, very important to my point of view. I think that the training out of the box, I agree with buying the and as I faced the decision about how to get into the business, I said, well, why is someone going to buy me? And I really wanted to know that there are some people out there that I could cry on their shoulders, because I'm alone here in Poughkeepsie. Sometimes you just need a support network for yourself, because starting a business is difficult. There's a lot to it, a lot of activity, a lot of anxiety until you sort of build up the practice. I'm married to a CPA that did the same thing, so I have a really good partner in life that could provide the support and emotional support and understand some of the things that I was going through in building up the practice. But those tools are available to you through the ACA system. It's kind of like being alumni of the same college. When you get together with people, we have our own language, our own models that we work with, but that gives us a common bond of language and understanding in how we approach problems. And a reason that I love the way that we do this system is if you are going to be just a money manager, ultimately you're going to manage people's money. But if you handle their cash flow and spending issues and tax issues and the integrated approach, you're managing not just their lives, not just their money, but their lives. It's a much closer relationship and closer bond, I think. And so I do still have my first client from 2003, come to think of it, based on what Jim said before. And there is a um, um, I my assistant actually was the one that pointed out to me, because I always worry. I say, oh, I'm going to lose people, and oh, my God, no one likes me and things like that. My assistant says, you know, your clients are very loyal. I went, really? I guess they are, and I started thinking about it. Well, and part of that is the way that we conduct our practices around here. And if you want, and by the way, if you do have any questions, let me give out my email. It's csimon, C-S-I-M-O-N, at HVC, Herbert Victor Charles, .rr.com. And also, if you want to see an article, any articles that have been written about me, there was a recent one. If you Googled Chip Simon WSJ for Wall Street Journal, there's an article that was on May 19th about the perspective that I bring that I think dovetails nicely with a lot of the way people feel within the ACA community on the power of empathy, it's called. So I found that the training it's a real crush when you go through your training week. And, of course, when you start off doing anything new, there's a lot of anxiety. But having a community of people that have been through it before know those emotions and have answers for you when you don't have answers, because having a community that you can turn to and that brain trust is a great selling proposition when you're talking to people. You know, you might get the question, well, there's just you. I said, well, there's not just me. Now, there are 150 other people that are out there with me that are across the country. And I ask them questions because I can't possibly know everything. And anyone that's realistic understands that you can't possibly know everything. So, but being a cog in a larger organization, the way of doing things, I think, has great value as you're going forward with a business. I guess that's pretty much it. So, again, I was a career changer. I was later in life. I did have the accounting background. I think that dovetails really nicely with the model. Loyal clients and the ongoing support and spirit of the ASA family has been very, 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 very important to me. But remember, I'm really biased. But I hope that helps you in the decision that you're facing right now.
Thank you, Chip. That was great. Okay, I'd like to open it up to Q&A. Don't forget to hit *6 to unmute your phones. Any questions out there?
Yeah, this is Jill. I guess my question would be for Jim. I guess I'm curious as to sort of what schedule he is on in terms of acquiring clients, how long it's taking him, how many he has, how many he's getting yearly, you know, sort of what time and energy is needed into doing that.
Well, what I can tell you, I had the good fortune of right when I came out of training. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and we are kind of a hotbed for fee-only planning, and there's a half a dozen ACA planners in the central Ohio area. And there just happened to be a planner here in town who needed to start doing some succession planning. She was getting into her early 60s, and I just kind of happened to be at the right place at the right time. She asked me to become part of her firm and eventually take over her firm.
Mm.
What I can tell you, though, I stay in close contact with my training class. There were six or seven of us. And I think, and Chip might be able to expand on this, but, you know, first year, I would think anywhere from 4 to 8 clients. I think maybe half a dozen might be the average. I know some folks that have gotten 10 or 12 the first year, but it's been a hell of a lot of work. I think if you kind of go in with the goal of maybe getting 5 or 6 that first year, that's a good thing. It's, you know, you're making some money, you're learning the system, you're learning how to be an advisor, but you're not working, you know, 80 or 90 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could probably add to that as well. That,
yeah, please.
What I will speak to, because I do some of the initial training for marketing for the newer advisors, it's the most common problem with people getting their practice going is they want to make things perfect. They want to feel like they're a completely knowledgeable financial planner before they go out and get a client. The number one thing that teaches you about financial planning is the client. The most important piece of data that you can possibly gather for financial planning is sitting across the desk from you. So the greater you have a mindset of, I can't wait to get someone sitting across the desk from me, versus I have to be absolutely prepared before I possibly sit across the desk from anyone else, the more you're going to be geared to go out and seek those client relationships. The greatest thing that holds client acquisition back from the planning community and ACA are the planners themselves being too concerned about going out and getting the clients.
Mm-hmm.
So so what I'm saying is it is really up to you. Reasonable expectations, but there are a lot, and understandably a lot of people go into financial planning because they're more left brain than the right brain. They're more logic than the marketing outgoing,
mm-hmm.
and so there is a lot of personal predisposition, different attitudes about oh yuck, I'm selling and marketing and things like that. But the greater that you attune yourself to the real rational steps of client acquisition, just the better you're going to do too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are your goals, Jill?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking I have a 4-year-old,
okay.
So I'm kind of a combination of trying to do everything at once. He's in preschool, but my time is a little more limited. So I don't want to give up. I'm trying to find balance, I guess, is the best way.
Sure.
So I was actually thinking if I put myself on a schedule of 5 clients the first year, that
sure.
might be doable without making myself crazy and trying
sure.
to take too much on. So that does sound...
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. How many hours do you each spend a week? I'm always sort of curious about that. I know it can vary.
I told my partner when, it's funny how she said this. I had just come out of training, and she approached me, and I was working out of my home and, still getting my office set up. And she said, hey, I think we should merge our practices. And I said, well, Joanne, if you mean a practice as having clients, I don't have any yet. I don't have a practice. But, I told her, count on me for 40 hours a week. I'll work hard. I'll bust my butt. But, I'm not in this to work 50, 60, 70 hours because I'm just starting a family myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she totally got that. And she said, hey, I'm comfortable with that. She's at the point where she's cut her hours back, and we've got plenty of work between us, but it's not something where, we're working 60 or 70 hours a week. Especially this time of year, it's probably more 30 to 35 hours a week.
Okay, yeah.
Just to add, there can also be other factors. For example, I'd say most of my clients are sort of pre-retirement age, which means they're not asking me for late night hours, for weekend hours.
Mm-hmm.
They're generally available during the day. So it can also depend on the sort of client base that you have. And there are clients that certainly, there are advisors in ACA that certainly tailor their work schedules around their own needs too. And I'm thinking of Cheryl Clark out in Tucson, who basically just works Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday because she has a young daughter. And so she'd rather just compress the time with her clients so that she has that other time available. So it is a modular system. I mean, it's very flexible in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us to manage our clients as far
right.
as using your time.
And find what works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, once he gets into school more full-time, then I will be putting more hours in. But in this first year or two, it's going to be, less flexible for me.
Sure.
But this is also, I think, a good time to get started.
Oh, absolutely.
Not to waste time because I'm more... a late life career changer, so I feel
okay.
like I'm running out of time.
Well, good for you. Yeah, I think, boy, if you had, 5 or 6 clients over the first year, I think that would be great.
Yeah.
As far as time-wise, as far as getting to learn the business, getting some income in, but,
mm-hmm.
Not working 60 or 70 hours a week.
Right, yeah.
I think that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Are you going to be working from home?
I think I'm going to do both. I think I'll work from home, but I'll probably look at a virtual office.
Okay.
To see clients and maybe to get out of the house occasionally, too.
Sure. I understand.
Oh, there's
that,
a lot
yeah.
to be said for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking more into it, and I'm surprised at how much is out there, and it's not horribly expensive.
Good.
So it's sounding pretty good. So I'm thinking of something along those lines. Someone warned me, do I want to have clients in my home, if I'm here by myself? Yeah, probably not,
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah, I think just being cautious. I mean, hopefully there will all be people I know or people who know people I know, but you still always want to be careful.
Oh, absolutely. And there are a lot of folks in ACA that do work from home.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for about a year and a half, and our house, I kind of took over the dining room and kind of converted that into an office, and it worked fine, but our house really isn't structured for a home office, and kind of like you, I like getting out and having that separate. But there are a lot of folks in ACA that do the home office, and they've made it work, and it works great for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, you know, some people started off with a virtual office, and then once they've gotten their client base, then they've actually almost gone back to home office. So I've seen it both ways.
Right.
I've heard about it happening both ways.
Right.
So it seems like there's some nice flexibility. And I think with the virtual office, that'll give me the flexibility to prevent a more professional front.
Sure.
You know, but also, you know, keep the convenience of working from home, too. I've worked from home for a very long time, so.
Oh, okay.
It just
go
happens.
Go both ways.
Yeah, part of me is like, please let me get out of the house, but yeah.
My downfall is having nachos at 10:30 in the morning.
You got to get out. You got to dress. You can't sit in your pajamas.
Yeah, one of my classmates going through training, he's working from home, and he said the first year he gained probably 10 pounds just from the fridge being with almost within eyesight.
It's so easy to pick. It's really awful.
Hey, have you read Bert's book? By any chance? Bert Whitehead?
No.
Okay.
Who? Jill? Who are you addressing that to, Jill? No, I have not.
Okay.
I should.
Yeah, maybe Amy can send you a copy. It kind of gets into the nuts and bolts of at least the investment side of what we do. And it's I found it interesting. It was one of the big reasons why I decided to switch careers.
Yeah. Good. Everything is just sounding so positive, I don't know. It just sounds like it's going to be a great fit for me.
How did you find out about it?
I think originally through Kathy Dollard. I'm in Central Mass.
Okay.
And while I was still in school, I was searching for someone to maybe do this quasi-paid internship just to start getting experience, and I chatted with her, and she mentioned Cambridge. And then, I sort of went back and forth, and then when I started working for another firm part-time, then I started to think maybe I'm ready to go out on my own, and so I revisited Cambridge, and actually I've been talking to Kathy more, too, and then have just, and then just everything seemed to click. Started just hearing about, more people who are involved, doing more research, talking to Amy.
Good.
So I'm working on the application now. I just have to finish it up and looking at some costs and things like that right about now.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kathy was a Garrett planner. And
yeah, she's interesting. She's a great success story for ACA, I think.
Right. She's switched over. I don't know Kathy real well, but I know her a little bit. And I think she switched over maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she's just going gangbusters.
Yeah, we're actually going to meet and chat a little bit in a couple of weeks. She might need some help, so we'll see.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think she'd like to expand a little bit. So the other thing I was going to ask people, the first year as you're going through your checklist and doing the self-study and all of that, did you do anything to bring in income other than if you weren't, I mean, it sounds like early on you're not quite ready to take on clients. So did you work for other groups or just kind of?
Well, I would recommend staying married.
Yeah. Husbands are good that way, aren't they? Or wives.
But actually, I recommend that to everyone anyway. So it's a great wealth preserver to keep your partner. I remember taking the H&R Block tax course.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little a part-time tax work during that first tax season to sort of get refamiliarize myself with software and tax schedules. But that was it for me. But then I was able to do that.
Yeah.
But
I was actually thinking that would be a good way for me to start too, and then use a, maybe get some just a little bit of income by doing some tax prep and seeing if that would work.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks that have done that. For me, I was kind of winding down a previous business, so I had a little income coming from that. But my focus, once I signed up the summer of 07, and my virtual classroom started maybe that August or September and went through the fall, and the final week intensive was January of 08. But as soon as I signed up, I was assigned a coach or a mentor, and we worked together a lot just trying to get the structure in place and all the paperwork and all the administrative stuff done. So when I came out of training, I was raring to go. It wasn't something where I still had to do my ADV and still had to do compliance and all this stuff. So, this isn't something where, you know, they just send you a manual and say, all right, good luck with this. Call us if you need us. You'll be assigned a coach or a mentor, and they're going to be make sure that, you know, you're getting the things done that you need to do so you can be raring to go when the time comes.
When I'm trying to get the schedule, so there is a self-study portion, and then there is a course in Denver.
Right.
Correct. As soon as you join, you get sent the home study material.
Okay.
So you do the home study, and then there are virtual review sessions that are recorded and are posted online on our members-only website that you have access to. There's a virtual review session that coincides with each of the home study modules.
Okay.
And then you attend the group instruction class. And something I'll be sending out in the email when I send out the link to the recording for this one is we're moving our January 2011 class up a little bit. We're moving it into December.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's going to be the week of December 13th to the 17th.
Is that 2011 or 2010?
2010.
2010. Okay.
Yep.
How long... Is it sort of the usual time frame to finish the self-study before you take the class?
Well, we do have a three-month cutoff, so that the cutoff for joining ACA will be September 1st to be able to participate in that December class. Because it's not only doing the self-study, which takes anywhere from, and guys, correct me if you think I'm wrong, 40 to 80 hours, just depending on your level of expertise. But, you know, there are other things that you're going to need to complete before you get to group instruction as far as, you know, working on your RIA, completing your ADVs, you know, taking a tax class if you don't have a tax background, things like that. So that's why we have that three-month cutoff. But, of course, you know, the sooner you join, the sooner you can get started. You can submit your application tomorrow, go through the membership process, and once it's been approved, you know, we'll send you all of the home study right away so you can get started right away so you just have that much more time to prepare for the class.
Right, because I don't have to do the December. I can always wait until the next.
Right, the following summer, which will probably be in July.
July.
What's also nice, this you know, you have the self-study, but then once a week you have the virtual classroom. So you'll get to know your classmates just being on these calls every week. And that's what I found beneficial, too. There were six, there might have been seven of us in, that, in our class. And by the time we got to the group instruction out in Denver, we knew each other pretty well and we clicked well. And we still stay in touch. We do, I think, not quite every month, but maybe every other month we'll do a conference call and just kind of check in with everybody and commiserate or share success stories. So that's... I found that very beneficial.
Great. Thank you so much for all your information.
Sure.
No problem. This is Steve here. Let me kind of touch or ask you quickly about, because we've talked about this, the time involved. Do some people, career changers, do they keep their day job, if you will, for a while, as they're trying to build their practice, is the process modeled in such a way they can do it on a part-time basis?
I think that I did not. Those were not my circumstances. But I think that anyone that has
the foresight to, you know, handle their job and also go through that, absent the availability for the training, you know, the training week and commitments to those, that training schedule, to start part-time. I think that's a possibility for people if they want to do that.
Okay. And
I mean, you have to figure, you know, and what you really need to do is figure out your own plan.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes people overlook that, but we are planners. And I think the best subject matter to start off with is yourself. So, so you can give a little picture of what you're stepping into and how you're gonna accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And again, think about career changers, people who I might have some trepidation about recommending investments. Does the training? How do we know what to recommend?
There are different, and by the way, you know, different people bring different strengths into their financial planning background, or into their business of being a financial planner. So, it's going to be natural for you to deal more with your strengths and kind of outsource your perceived weaknesses. So, there are many people in ACA that come out of the investment background, so they're really into it. Okay, so you could, for example, rely on them. There is a group that goes through what is called our directed portfolio, which identifies, you know, recommended mutual funds and different types of mutual funds. As far as building a plan, that's done. That is covered in the training. As far as a selection of investments and the asset allocation for it, and the appropriateness of the investing for the different point in someone's life and stage of accumulation in their life, which is part of our model and part of our training. And then I think it's getting that facility with people. Another thing, too, is if you are preaching more the idea of passive management of funds, it becomes just a simple asset allocation exercise. So people are into the investing side or threatened by the investing side to various degrees, and there are resources within to help you feel more comfortable with that and get the experience. By the way, many people feel the same way about taxes too. They say, I really like it, but I've never done anything to do with taxes. How will I ever get my arms around that? Well, part of it comes with the doing and just the thinking about it and the financial planning, which comes with experience.
Oh, okay, and that actually leads into my next question, which is about taxes. I know we need to understand the tax law and need to be reviewing taxes, but what if we don't want to do taxes?
I just gave up doing taxes this year, as a matter of fact. So I had done them, but I leave it up to my clients. If someone comes with a good tax preparer and they're getting good value for that, I see it as an advantage to have another professional that I can kind of build a relationship with. So I never felt like I had to do the returns, and I was doing returns for about 10 or 12 of my clients. Well, it meant getting the software license every year, the per charge, and so it was costing me some thousands of dollars to do it. And that's not where the value is. The value is in thinking about the tax return before the end of the year. So the tax planning is the value. And you can certainly get simple, inexpensive tax planning software. And I gave all my returns this year that I was doing to my wife. I mentioned she was a CPA, but it could have just as easily been someone else that I outsourced that to. So having to do tax returns becomes optional. I think the way to learn about tax planning, though, is to become familiar with how a tax return works. So it always makes a lot of sense to get your hand on the schedules and do that for a while, but it does become it can be an option or it can be an option at some other point in your practice. But thinking about the taxes and integrating that into the way you think about the financial planning is a critical part of our model. That's very important, but that comes with experience, like I said.
Oh, okay, and so it's not absolutely necessary that we become enrolled agents.
Oh, no, nothing like that. Yeah, that's not. Some people do select that, and probably because they're going to keep the tax returns in house or like doing them for whatever reason it is. I'm terrible because that's very. I should mention this. The financial planning that we do can be sort of very general in the applications and assumptions that we know that we use to get people moving in the directions they have to. Tax preparation is very, very specific and very process-driven to make sure you get the right number in the right box. So it's a real – I found that it was a real shift of gears. and I found that I didn't. It took me a lot of time, me personally, to shift those gears. Plus, with a lot of the new regulation coming down, I just wanted to have my clients have the best preparation possible, and I knew that it wasn't me. So I was very glad to give that up. And it created, for me, there was a lot of anxiety in doing it, so I was glad to give that up at some point. But the tax planning, I absolutely love, because there's so much value that you demonstrate to clients for doing that. And it gives you a real key on real strategies that you can think about that other people aren't thinking about, that it's a great value add, a great way to do the planning.
Okay, and this training, if you will, for the tax planning, that's encompassed in the overall training, the ACA training?
Absolutely, yeah.
And is there, I know there's a forum that we get to participate in. Is there a specific tax form? Because as you said, there have been a lot of changes. How do we keep up with all those changes?
Well, generally there are, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are tax updates generally at our annual conferences.
Oh, sure. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Things like that where you run through that stuff. Yeah. And at a local level, when you have to do your CE credits for either NAPFA and or your CFP, you always take a tax update class to know what the big things are and make sure you're aware of that stuff.
Okay. Okay. And one last question.
Sure.
We promised to prepare a financial plan, a written financial plan, is that right?
We are comprehensive planners, and we do it in modular fashion. So, for example, when you prepare a NAPFA plan for your NAPFA requirement, it's more of a book, a narrative book, that's kind of a one snapshot in time. Now, we tend to, I'm not going to use the word laugh, but we tend to eschew that type of one-time plan because to us, planning is a continual process, and our project is modular. So think of it as biting off the planning elephant, you know, one tablespoon at a time. In one meeting, we will deal with, like, an investment question and give recommendations for that. But, you know, we're going to come around to that next year again. So it's going to change over time, and we deliver our recommendations to people in step-by-step fashion throughout the year. Rather than gathering everything, having a big meeting, retreating into the back room, and knocking out a 20- or 30-page narrative thing with lots of charts and things that people don't care about the next day. So we do give written recommendations to our plan. If you take everything that we put together during the course of a year, you consider that to be a written plan, and then it would be updated continually by the subsequent written information that we give to people. But we don't have a one big software generated plan book because things change the next day. We see actually very little value in that.
Sure. Okay. So,
but did I make myself clear about sort of what that written result looks like compared to what it could look like?
I think so. I think I understand you say we're not using a commercial software program you see so many of, Money Tree or something like that. We're using is this modular recommendation or those? Is there a format or a template provided by Cambridge to do that? Or?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we have our own software, and some people do use those other softwares, but we don't render a one-time book covering the entire financial plan.
Okay,
is what I'm saying. We deal with financial planning in a modular fashion. Think of when you take your financial planning course. There are the six steps of financial planning where you cover taxes, investment, retirement, you know, risk management. Those we attack those in modular fashion throughout the year.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we break it down in our system.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
And there are some ACA folks that use that off-the-shelf stuff like Money Tree and
right.
All kinds of stuff. And my partner, Joanne, she's been there and tried all those, and she has gone back to the ACA tools that are provided because these software packages you get, you know, off-the-shelf – like Chip said, you know, it spits out all these charts and graphs and 20 or 30 pages of this, and people, it's too much for them. It's too much. The tools that we use are, they're not the most sophisticated tools, but they're tools that people understand and they get value from.
Yeah. Yep. And it's very key in our process that we engage and involve clients in the financial planning process. So in essence, we're helping them feel smarter, mm-hmm. as opposed to making ourselves look really smart as the experts.
Right.
Okay. Right. And if you look at, think of the investment advertising on TV, what's most everyone saying? Why, I'm smarter than the other guy. Mm-hmm. I think it's a false proposition. It doesn't add much value or even credibility in my book. Okay. It's about the client's plan. Not how smart I am.
Right.
And you brought up the question about the investments and making recommendations. That's the easy part. The hard part is getting to know the clients, getting to know their situation, getting to know their values and their goals. You know, once you have worked with them throughout the year and get to know them, you know, then the actual asset allocation and the actual recommendation of funds, I mean, it's damn near automatic. Mm-hmm. The work is getting to know them and who they are.
And I'm sorry, I don't remember which one of the two of you talked about, the left brain versus
yep.
right
oh,
brain.
Yeah, that was me, right.
So if you're...
Or no brain, or brain.
Yeah. So for those of us who are... very detailed number oriented. Do we get in this? Is there a process or training to help us unlock whatever side of the brain we're not using? I guess is that the right brain I'm not using?
Well, usually I think of the right brain being those are the people that have the outgoing and the natural marketing abilities, as opposed to the left brain is that might want to you might want to huddle with your software a few too many hours during the day.
I see.
What you always want to do is have clients.
Yeah.
You want to have people to work with to learn your to learn your what it is to have a practice.
Yeah. But I have read Bert's book, but there is a process that if I understand correctly that we learn to go through with prospects and clients to elicit, I guess, more from them in terms of goals, dreams, vision, that type of thing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's the goal setting exercise.
Okay. Right. Okay. Good. Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
No problem.
Jill, did you have any other questions?
I think I'm good for now. I may in the future, so I may take you up in your email offer. But I think it's all coming together for me.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank the questions asked by our prospects, Jill and Steve. And I want to thank our members, Chip Simon and Jim Davis, for their time today. And again, if you have any other questions, don't hesitate to contact Jim or Chip or me. I'm always able to answer questions. So thank you for your time, everyone, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Good luck,
thanks.
Folks.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.